Money 105.5 presents Money 2.0.
Money 2.0.
Now, from Rogerson Business Services, certified business broker Andrew Rogerson on Money 2.0.
Good morning and welcome to 105.5 FM and Money 2.0. I'm the host of the show, Andrew Rogerson. I've got two guests this morning. One's totally going to confuse my producer because his name is Eric Anderton, and she has trouble with Andrew Rogerson. So if you put Andrew Rogerson and Eric Anderton together, it makes her crazy, but that's okay. And my second guest is Linda Bigler. Eric is the CEO of the ABC Group and specializes in training, consulting and coaching, and is also a keynote speaker. Linda Bigler is a business coach and helps business owners and executives put a personal strategy together to achieve their goals. If you're out driving, listening to the show, and you hear something inspiring and want to come back and listen to it, you're welcome to go to my website. Each afternoon, each night, I put the day's recording up on my website, and you're welcome to download the show and listen to it at your leisure. So simply go to my website, www.rogersonbusinessservices.com, and I'm getting a brand new website, so it'll be easy to find fairly soon. But right now, you've got to go to the media tab, and a little drop-down will come up, and it'll say 105.5 FM and Money 2.0. And all the shows are there, archived, ready for you to listen. So you're welcome to do that when you're ready. So what's this show about? This show is for business owners or those dreaming of becoming a business owner and looking for more information or are ready to take action. We cover topics that include the spectrum of selling a business or buying a business or buying a franchise. These topics include finance, legal issues, tax issues, accounting, as well as sales and marketing. Or I like to say, this show is where Wall Street meets Main Street. My name is Andrew Rogerson. I'm a certified business broker and the host of your show. I'm certified through the California Association of Business Brokers. I'm certified with International Business Brokers Association. I'm the author of four books: Successfully Buy Your Business, Successfully Buy Your Franchise, Successfully Start Your Business, and Successfully Sell Your Business. If you'd like to know more, you're welcome to visit my website, again, www.rogersonbusinessservices.com, or you're welcome to give me a call, 916-570-2674. Each week before I start the show, I like to mention a charity. Nothing gets better without people contributing to our community, and there's an interesting event coming up this Saturday. It's called 1,000 Bowls to Feed the Hungry, and it's being done at the Brick House Gallery in Oak Park. The address is 2837 36th Street and Broadway. It's on the corner there, and the Brick House Gallery are trying to put together 1,000 ceramic bowls. And what they're doing is they're having people come and make these bowls, and then they're getting a local artist to glaze and personalize them and spread them throughout the art community and sell them. So all the proceeds will either go to Loaves and Fishes, Meals on Wheels, or Senior Gleaners. So if you've got nothing to do between 12 noon and 5 o'clock this Saturday, head on down to the Brick House Gallery and check it out. There's absolutely no cost. So the Brick House Gallery in Oak Park on Saturday between noon and 5 o'clock, head down there and make a ceramic bowl, and an artist will pick it up, and it'll go from there. My guest is Eric. My first guest is Eric Anderton, and Eric's the CEO of the ABC Group. Eric, have I got you here?
Yep, I'm right here. Thank you for having me, Andrew.
No, thanks for coming in. Tell me a little bit about Eric Anderton. What gets him out of bed every morning?
Well, what gets me out of bed every morning is helping business owners to run their businesses more effectively, free up their time, make some more money, and really focus in on the things that fulfill them as business owners.
So I see you're a keynote speaker, a trainer, and consultant. What are some of the professional experiences you've had that helped you get to where you are now?
Well, I have 20 years of experience in business. I started out of college working for a tiny copier company up in the woods of Northern California. And I remember driving around my territory listening to Zig Ziglar, Tom Hopkins, because I was my sales manager as well as the first-time salesperson, so it was quite an experience.
Right.
Cut my teeth there, moved to Sacramento in 95. I've been involved in a number of very successful businesses in the area. Was involved in a reprographic company that was a startup here in the area. Grew over 7 times as I was involved in the company. I'm one of the all-time sales leaders in a leadership and management development company that is international in scope. I've been involved in an internet marketing startup, helping it to double in size during the time I was in the leadership of that company in both tactical and strategic, determining the tactical and strategic direction of the company. And in January of this year, I launched the ABC Group.
Okay. So interesting that having your roots in a copier company. I used to have a company back in Australia that sold meter copiers.
Oh, really? I sold meters as well.
You sold meters as well?
Well, they were
under different
brands as well.
Yeah, I sold Canon and occasionally the odd Panasonic copier, but I try to keep away from Panasonic. But meter were a good company back in the old days.
Back in the day, I tell you, if you can sell copiers, you can sell anything.
I think that's exactly right. So, there we are. I didn't even know we had that connection. So
there you go.
We both have a copier background. So, very intriguing. So one of the things you're doing, you've been involved in sales most of your life. That's who you are and what gets you excited. And I think you're in the process of writing a book. And I think the focus of the book is probably about your sales experience and what that means to a business owner. Tell us, what's the title of the book?
Well, it's actually even a little deeper than sales. It's really around the topic of the courageous entrepreneur.
Okay.
I think that we've experienced a shift in our culture over the past 15 to 20 years where the opportunities for entrepreneurship are beginning to open up to many more people, and the necessity for entrepreneurship is beginning to open up as the traditional businesses with your fixed pensions and all those kinds of things are more and more, you know, going by the wayside, and the need for knowledge workers who are able to communicate what it is that they offer and make an impact in other people's lives is beginning to increase.
I love the way you said that. There's necessity for entrepreneurs, and that was really one of the reasons why I started doing this radio show, because in my opinion, we're not going to get the unemployment rate down in the US until we get more people into small business, because it's the small business guy that's going to start do the hiring to lower unemployment. The big corporations like the Dells, the HPs, the et cetera, all they're trying to do is manage not having too many employees. So they have no interest in solving the unemployment problem, and to me, it's the entrepreneur that's going to be the one left to do that.
Absolutely. It's really the backbone of our company, of our country, and really the necessity is for people to be able to take those entrepreneurial steps.
Yeah, and it's intriguing. The entrepreneurism, I think the politicians have forgotten us, and just a personal observation, these politicians are so tied to the large corporations and the donations they get. They're just not seeing the need to try and encourage and foster entrepreneurialism.
Absolutely, and I think it's a necessity for people to understand that, you know, our country was built upon entrepreneurs, people who are willing to go out there, start from nothing, and build something that was very successful and had a meaningful impact on the economy and on the community.
Yep. So the title of the book, The Courageous Entrepreneur, that's significant because that's what you're really trying to highlight, is that moving into entrepreneurship does take a lot of courage.
I tell you, you know, we struggle with a lot of fears in our lives. I myself, you know, starting my own business, it was a step of courage. You know, we fear failure a lot of times. We fear the unknown. We fear what other people think of us.
Right.
Many people have, you know, a real desire to be entrepreneurs and to start their own business, and they struggle with these fears for many, many years. And so to be a courageous person is essential to being a successful entrepreneur, and that's what I like to help people with, and that's something that's very meaningful to me as well.
How did you work through some of the fears that you found as you were traveling through your career? I agree with you. Fear is the number one thing, and it pops up in so many walks of our lives, be it as an entrepreneur or in our personal beliefs or the way we operate our finances. It reveals itself in so many ways. How did you work through the issue of fear as being a salesperson? Just take the rah-rah male testosterone approach, or did you have a little bit more scientific approach?
Well, I think it's interesting. I think if you kind of flip the coin a little bit, and instead of thinking of it from the fear perspective, you think of it from the courage perspective.
Okay.
And if you define courage from a sort of a dictionary definition, it's the ability to confront fear, pain, danger, uncertainty, and to venture and to persevere.
Right.
And that's sort of a dictionary definition.
Sure.
I have my own definition for courage, and that is doing what needs to be done,
right,
when it needs to be done, whether I feel like it or not. Okay. And so to answer your question, when it comes down to it, to overcome fear is a choice.
Right.
And to overcome fear is to take steps of courage, doing what needs to be done when it needs to be done, whether you feel like it or not.
So that at a simple level, there's just a need to say, okay, I'm in a situation, I'm probably going to find it fearful. Now, how do I push through that?
Exactly. Yeah. But not just pushing through it, because, you know, anyone can charge up the hill, so to speak. But, you know, as entrepreneurs, we don't get charged up the hill and get shot all the time.
Right.
So intelligent action is necessary.
Right. Okay.
Not just action, but intelligent action.
Okay. I like that. Okay. Very good. Yeah. Okay. So courage in itself is just a word, but it putting into action, that's the that's the critical piece. It's taking those emotions, the fear, and recognizing there's a need to apply some courage, but there's also a need to apply some intelligence. It's what you were saying.
Absolutely, yeah. The intelligence is necessary, and that's where things like, you know, planning and thinking about what it is that you want to do, thinking about who you are in terms of your skills, your aptitudes, your interests. You know, those things are very important when thinking about what entrepreneurial endeavor to pursue. You know, it's one thing to want to be an entrepreneur. It's another thing to think through who you are and what is necessary in order to be successful as an entrepreneur.
My guest this morning is Eric Anderson. We're talking about the courage to be an entrepreneur. And we've got to take a break. When we come back from break, I've got some more questions for Eric, an intriguing subject. So hang in there. We'll be back to break shortly.
Money 2.0 is sponsored by Rogerson Business Services.
76-1055. And get your questions answered in real time, right now, on Money 2.0.
Hey, looking to play some golf? Tuesday, August 6th, Capital Christian School will be hosting its 7th Annual Golf Classic, the Glenn Cole Memorial, at the beautiful Winchester Country Club. Proceeds benefit the Gift of a Lifetime Financial Aid Fund for prospective and current Capital Christian students.
Meet Olympic gold medalist Brian Clay and learn how you can join his foursome. Details and registration at ccscougars.org. That's ccscougars.org.
Donations and sponsors welcome. We hope to see you there.
Are you a business owner or entrepreneur at heart? I am too. I'm Andrew Rogerson, a local business broker and host of Money 2.0. Listen live Tuesdays at 10 on Money 105.5 FM. Let's talk about how you can successfully run your business.
Tune in to Money 2.0 with Andrew Rogerson, certified business broker and author of 4 books, Successfully Start Your Business, Buy Your Business, Buy Your Franchise, and Successfully Sell Your Business. Hear Andrew Rogerson on Money 2.0 live, 10 a.m. Tuesdays, right here on Money 105.5 FM.
Money experts, every morning at 10 on Money 2.0. Now, back to the host, Andrew Rogerson.
Welcome back. Thank you for listening to 105.5 FM and Money 2.0. I'm the host of the show, Andrew Rogerson, and I was just talking off air to Eric. We're having an in-depth conversation, and I find Eric's subject intriguing because entrepreneurialism is just so critical in today's society. And Eric and I were talking about what does an entrepreneur do, Eric? That's what we were talking about. What does an entrepreneur do?
Well, I think you want to boil it down very simply. You want to sort of take away all the sort of the fluff and the fancy and the halos that we put over people's heads who we consider to be entrepreneurs. And entrepreneur does two things. They do innovation and they do marketing.
So the essence of the book then will be around innovation and marketing. Is that too simplistic?
Well, no, it's not too simplistic. I think it is simple, but it's not simplistic. Because obviously innovation and marketing are things that are incredibly complex.
Right.
But if I can start from a simple perspective, then that helps me to keep focused as I'm going forward in an entrepreneurial mindset.
So I always find it helpful to put definition to words. So just give me a simple definition of innovation. How are you, in your context, why is that important to you in terms of what you how you do your training in the book you're writing?
Absolutely. Well, innovation is the introduction of something new. It's a new idea, a new method, or a device. And so when you're going through the innovative process, which every entrepreneur needs to do,
right,
there's three basic questions that you want to ask. Now, the first question is, what is desirable to people? What do people want? What is desirable to the market? A lot of entrepreneurs make the mistake of not asking that question. So right. I know one guy, he spent hundreds of thousands of dollars building this great software product, brought it to market, and the market said, no, thank you.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So you have to ask what is desirable. Then you have to ask what is possible. What is possible with the people that I currently work with? What is possible with my own skills? What is possible with technology? And then you have to ask, what is viable? Okay, what is viable? So you come to the marketplace with what is desirable and what is possible, but then you have to ask, will people pay for it?
Right.
What is viable? Okay, if you don't have an idea that is viable, then you may have a hobby, you may have an interest, but you right. do not have a business if they're right. not going to give you money.
Okay.
Those are three questions you have to be asking to begin with, but also asking on a continual basis.
Right. Okay, intriguing. I love that because the role of an entrepreneur is to keep reinventing itself.
Absolutely.
If you start with an idea, if you were a blacksmith and used to go and fix the horses when they came into the barn and put new horseshoes on them, if that's what you did all your career and the industry changed, you were left behind.
That's right.
And so there's a constant need to always evaluate what you're doing, where you're going, and where the next opportunity is.
Absolutely, absolutely. And then the other part of entrepreneurialism is marketing.
Okay.
And the marketing is simply the process of promoting and selling and distributing a product or a service. And the reason why I call it the courageous entrepreneur is because nobody likes change. Well, some people like change, but
right.
There's an old saying, the only person who likes change is a wet baby. I got four little kids. The only time they ever say, change me, Papa, is when they got a diaper full, right?
Sure, sure. Exactly.
And then marketing is a scary thing as well. Marketing right. is the promoting of a product, the selling of it, the communicating of it.
Yep.
And that can bring a lot of fear in people's lives as well.
Well, it's a lot of fear in there because you're just not quite sure what works. And so when you don't know what works, you tend to stay away from it. And unless you get involved and engaged in the marketing process, then the innovation, the idea you've got is going to stay with you and not move past that.
Yeah, exactly. And that's where the fear of failure, the fear of what other people think, the fear of the unknown, it gets in there when we're thinking about the innovating and the marketing pieces that are essential to what an entrepreneur does.
So how do you bring these things together? You've got the innovation and the marketing. You've identified the courageous entrepreneur and the need to get the entrepreneur motivated, and you've identified innovation and marketing as the tools to do that. How do you bring all this together?
No, it's an excellent question. Well, how to develop courage and then apply it in your business is through intelligent, consistent action that is inspired by a higher purpose.
Okay.
And so what I talk to my clients about is a couple of things. You need to do long-term vision building. Okay, you have to ask two questions. Why does your business exist? And where is your business going? And when you ask these questions, you have to answer them not in terms of what you're going to present to the market, but you have to answer them at the very core of your being. Why does your business exist? Where is your business going? So I can give you a couple of examples as far as that's concerned. Okay, so Nike, why do they exist? This is what they wrote down: to experience the emotion of competition, winning, and crushing competitors. Now think about that for a moment. Crushing competitors.
Yeah.
That may not resonate with every single person in the marketplace. Some people may be offended by
right,
that.
Right.
But that resonated with them.
Yeah.
And then they married that with where their business was going.
Right.
In the 1960s, they clearly stated where their business was going. It was to crush Adidas. Again,
wow.
Another example of something that may not resonate with everyone,
right.
but it resonated with them and it drove them right. towards the success that they eventually achieved.
Yep.
So those two things. Why does your business exist and where is your business going?
Intriguing, and part of what you mentioned, which I also found interesting, was a long-term plan.
Yes,
this isn't just a matter of let's start this today and maybe next week we'll pick it up and run with it again. There's a need to have a long-term plan and a long-term agreement with yourself. This is where I intend to be, and this is where I intend to place my focus. Talk to me a little bit about that long-term plan. How do you mean by long-term plan? Talking about 2 weeks? You're talking about?
Well, this is for me personally, for my company,
yes.
I'm on a 20-year journey building a business education company on the foundation of courage, excellence, and value, generously giving of myself so that others, other businesses and other people experience abundance.
Right.
That is the 20-year vision of my company.
Okay.
Now, the 20-year vision of my company is then married, and this is what I teach my clients,
yeah.
to 90-day planning windows.
Okay.
Because that's where the innovation comes in. 90-day strategic plans, not a year, but
right.
90 days. Because after 90 days, I can reevaluate
yep.
and see where I need to go next.
Right.
Okay? So as far as a 90-day strategic plan is concerned, and this is where innovation comes in,
yep.
you have to ask, where are we now?
Yep.
How did we get here? Where would we really like to be? And then in what specific ways can we get from where we are to where we want to be? Okay. Those are excellent questions. You need to ask this too. What should we start doing, stop doing, do less of, and do more of? This is something that you must do as a business owner every 90 days in your business if you're right. going to be consistently innovating.
And so just so I'm clear, with the method you're teaching, you're seeing a need for every 90 days to reinvent the cycle then. Does that make sense?
Not necessarily reinvent, okay? Because you may come in 90 days and say, you know, we are on the right track. I don't need to reinvent.
Right.
But I do need to stop and think.
Yep.
Not enough people stop and think. They just do. You need to stop and think and consider and ask these questions.
Yep. Okay. Now, I love that idea because I agree with you entirely. So many business owners I get to talk to who are thinking of selling or getting out of business, they're just burned out because they've lost the enthusiasm to keep going. And the idea of a long-term plan, we were talking about copiers before, Panasonic Copiers, their parent company used to do a 250-year plan.
Right.
That was their vision. We're going to be around for 250 years. We need to plan for the next 250 years. It wasn't a matter of, you know, let's do a 90-day cycle, which is critical to what you're saying. But they had a 250-year plan that had all these different cycles in there and the need to continually innovate. So long-term planning, I think is fantastic.
Absolutely. So that's where the innovation comes in. As far as the marketing comes in,
yes.
You need to take that 90-day strategic plan and translate that into monthly, weekly, and daily activity.
Right.
Always keeping in mind that marketing, which is the communication of your ideas,
yep.
is both internal to your people, to your company, and then external to your potential clients, to your current clients. So you need to translate that vision or that plan into a daily, weekly, monthly activity. And by the way, daily is best. And that's where the courage gets really practical.
Yep.
Because I am faced with the daily things that I need to do, whether I feel like it or not.
Yeah. Intriguing. So that you made a distinction there with marketing. There's an internal process and an external process.
Absolutely.
So communicating with the employees.
Absolutely.
Totally different mindset to communicating with the market. There's different needs and different responsibilities that go with that.
Yeah. So whether you like it or not, as an entrepreneur, you're always selling, whether it's you're selling yourself, you're
right.
selling your employees,
right.
right? Or you're selling to the market. You're always yep. selling. You're always communicating. You're always marketing.
So if you're brought in to help the CEO of a company that sees a need for what you're doing, is this a typical model that you go through with them to break these things down and put a plan together like that?
Absolutely. I want to sit down. Why are you guys here?
Right.
You know, where are you going?
Right.
And a lot of times people struggle with that. It takes time to answer those questions. Yeah. And then we can go through that 90-day strategic plan as I talked about, talk about the consistent activity as far as the marketing is concerned or the execution is concerned of their plan. Those are things that we work with on a regular basis.
So just talk us through just at a simple level. If a CEO made contact with you, what sort of lead time? Every situation would vary, but what sort of lead time would it be to have you come on board and put an outline together and then take it from there?
Well, I don't know if I'm a fit with every single company out there. And so what I like to do is I like to for them to be able to complete a survey that I give them so I get an idea of what's going on in their business. I'm happy to sit down one-on-one with the business owners and to go through a two-hour process where we, you know, discuss where the business is, where it's going, where they'd like it to be. And based on that, if we see mutual agreement, then, yep. you know, we can move forward into a training and a coaching relationship.
Yep. What are some of the industries that you enjoy working in? You've got, I like your observation. I'm not a good fit for every person that wants to sell their business. So what are some of the industries that you worked in and you enjoy working in?
Well, I've had great success with a number of construction companies here in the Sacramento area. I work with engineering companies. I work with call centers. I work with a variety of companies, but I found a real niche with the construction industry at the moment.
Okay.
Very much so.
And the construction industry, lots of change going through there right now, I think. So lots of need for what you've put together.
Absolutely.
If somebody wants more information, what's the best way to get hold of you?
Well, the best way to get hold of me, you can check me out on Facebook at ABC Group USA. My website is under construction at the moment, so it's a pretty simple blog, but we're going to get that launched in September.
Yep.
And you can also check out my profile on LinkedIn, Eric Anderton, and I'm in the greater Sacramento area, so you can find me through LinkedIn as well.
So I'm going to put you on the spot. You've got all this innovation and strategies that you're putting together and et cetera. When's the book going to be finished?
We're planning on launching that in the fourth quarter of 2014.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Fourth quarter of 2014. So you're planning to write the book yourself?
Yep. My plan is to write the book myself and to use it as a platform to communicate my ideas and my passion and my vision for people to get involved in entrepreneurism and really move their lives forward on that basis.
Excellent. Okay. Well, Eric, I really appreciate you being a guest this morning. Thank you for listening to 105.5 FM and Money 2.0. The host of my show was Eric Anderton. Well, my host of my show was me. My guest this morning was Eric Anderton. And thank you for being a guest, Eric. I appreciate having you on board.
Thank you very much.
Money 2.0 is sponsored by Rogerson Business Services.
Call Money 105.5 at 866-576-1055. And get your questions answered in real time, right now, on Money 2.0.
U.S. stocks fluctuate as investors weigh earnings. From Bloomberg World Headquarters in New York, I'm Donna Wilson. U.S. stocks fluctuating today as investors weigh disappointing manufacturing data and earnings from companies, including Travelers and Texas Instruments. Investors have been weighing data to determine the timing and pace of any stimulus reduction by the Fed. Travelers fell 3% after posting the biggest quarterly decline since 2008 in a key measure of the company's value, as higher interest rates pressured its bond portfolio. Netflix dropped 5.8% amidst lower-than-expected subscriber gains. But Texas Instruments is up 3.9% after forecasting third-quarter sales and profit that may exceed estimates. The Dow is up 33 points to 15,578. S&P 500 index is flat at 1695. And the Nasdaq lost 0.2% to 3590. That's a Bloomberg Market Minute.
You're writing a Christian book and you want it published. You also know old-fashioned publishers reject thousands of manuscripts each year. Want your book in print and on Amazon? Make it happen. Take control and publish yourself with 21st Century Christian Publishing at Zulon Press. Learn more with your free guide to Christian publishing. Visit ChristianPublishing.com. ChristianPublishing.com. Publishing is fast, easy, and affordable with Zulon Press. A division of Salem Communications, the same great people who bring you this nifty radio station.
Hi, everybody. This is Eric Ilofsky-McKay, host of the Real Time Real Estate Show. Rising home values in our area may allow you to get rid of that high mortgage insurance payment. We are funding these loans and saving our borrowers hundreds each month. Give me a call at 916-806-0606 and schedule a visit with me, Eric McKay with Essex Mortgage. And don't forget to listen to Real Time Real Estate every Wednesday at 8 a.m. and 6 p.m. on Money 105.5.
Essex Mortgage is an equal housing lender. NMLS 70377. DRE 996013. DOC 607-3343. Eric McKay. NMLS 288343.
Here's Dale Hendry, general manager of this radio station, to tell you about an exciting program. Half-price tuitions at some of the area's best Christian schools. Preschool, elementary, middle school, and high school tuitions.
Listeners have thanked me personally because this half-price tuition program has allowed them to send their sons and daughters to Christian school. If you or someone you know could benefit from our half-price tuition program, please have them go to crazyprice.mall.com to check out the program. Capital Christian Center Schools, Lutheran High School, and others are featured. It is an incredible value for an incredible education.
Go to crazyprice.mall.com. Only a limited number available and restrictions apply. Half off tuitions at some of the best Christian schools featured for a limited time at crazyprice.mall.com.
Are you a business owner or entrepreneur at heart? I am too. I'm Andrew Rogerson, a local business broker and host of Money 2.0. Listen live Tuesdays at 10 on Money 105.5 FM. Let's talk about how you can successfully run your business.
Tune in to Money 2.0 with Andrew Rogerson, certified business broker and author of four books, Successfully Start Your Business, Buy Your Business, Buy Your Franchise, and Successfully Sell Your Business. Hear Andrew Rogerson on Money 2.0 live, 10 a.m. Tuesdays, right here on Money 105.5 FM.
Money experts, every morning at 10 on Money 2.0. Now, back to the host, Andrew Rogerson.
Welcome back, and thank you for listening to 105.5 FM and Money 2.0. I'm the host of your show, Andrew Rogerson. I have a young lady waiting for me, and her name is Linda Bigler. And Linda's a business coach, and I've known Linda for about 6 or 7 years now, I guess. Linda, have I got you there or not?
Yes, I'm here, Andrew. Thank
how you doing?
I'm fabulous.
Well, I know you're always fabulous, but I thought I'd better ask how you were doing. I met Linda at different places, but I know Linda's been very involved with the Metro Chamber of Commerce. You do a lot of activities for the chamber, is that right?
Yes, I've done quite a few presentations over the years, regular business building sessions, and then their Metro Expo. I've done large work groups there.
Yep. Well, I remember you having the different work groups and people queuing up and sitting outside the room because there wasn't enough room to listen and talk to you. So I know you do an awesome job. And also I know you're a Rotarian. I used to be a Rotarian. Which Rotary Club are you involved with?
I'm in Arden Arcade. I actually live in the Arden Arcade area, and the Arden Arcade Rotary has an alliance with the Children's Receiving Home, of which I'm on the board for, so that's the Rotary that I belong to.
So the Arden Arcade, I used to be with Point West. Is Point West and Arden Arcade close to each other?
They are pretty close. Point West is actually over at Point West. Arden Arcade, we actually meet at Ruth's Chris on Tuesdays.
Yep.
So a great bunch.
So you're a business coach. That's the focus of what you do. What attracted you to becoming a business coach?
Interesting story. I had a long career in healthcare sales, high-tech healthcare sales, and I was traveling nationwide before the 9/11 incident, which made traveling very not easy anymore.
Sure.
fun anymore, as lucrative anymore.
Right.
So went to work for another company where I was able to work from home and was a VAR channel manager. I traveled less, but I did handle 22 states and 150 small business owners as a distribution channel for medical software. And through that process, helped them grow their business, hire better people, put in systems, learn to demo, learn to do leasing and other options in their business, marketing strategies, things like that. Through that, 4 years of working in that, I found that I just really loved helping the business owners get re-inspired about their business. And McKesson came in and bought our company, and then they decided they didn't want outside VAR channel managers anymore. They wanted everyone to move to Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
And Linda's a California girl, born
yeah.
and raised here. So that wasn't going to work for me. So I ended up without a job for a short time, and I ended up buying into the largest business coaching franchise in the world, which is Action Coach out of Australia. Brad started the business in 97. I was the first female franchise owner in California in 2006, I believe. So I did that for 5 years. My contract came to renegotiation time, and I just chose to go out on my own, so I'm now out as the money magnet.
So Action Coach, as you say, was founded by Brad Sugars, and I have to apologize. Brad's Australian, so whenever I hear that, I need to get in there real quick and say I'm sorry you had to work with another Australian, but that's just
I like the Aussie boys.
Aussie boys, yeah. Well, we tend to have a sense of humor, you know, Phil Cowan, he's got a weekly radio show. He follows a football team called the Sydney Swans.
Uh-huh.
I keep telling him they're a bunch of girls, but he doesn't think that's fair because his team keeps beating my team, so I have to be careful. But I guess I'm digressing. I need to come back here and talk about being a business coach. But you spent 5 years with Action Coach.
Yes.
Brad built a pretty impressive franchise through Action Coach.
There's probably over 1,100 coaches in 41 countries now. There were in 26 countries when I started. I believe he's in 41 countries now, and very high success rate, wins a lot of awards, entrepreneur awards and Stevie awards and things like that for his business. He's done a great job.
So the experience you had working at Action Coach, you know, to my mind, I think you were working with one of the better business coach franchises out there, and so that would have given you a lot of skills and training and confidence to step out and do things on your own.
Yeah, all of that, and the team. The thing that you get when you're in a community like that is the team. So I have coaches worldwide that I can get on Skype or call or text or something 24 hours a day still.
Yeah.
And we all support each other still.
And those are the relationships you built by being with Action Coach for 5 years, and I just get that. That's just awesome to have such an outreach that if you have a question from a specific person you're trying to help and you've got a resource – be it, you know, around the corner or on the other side of the world, that's got to be awesome for you to be able to reach out to somebody and say, hey, I've got this problem I'm trying to help somebody with. You got any thoughts?
Yeah, Andrew, honestly, it is one of the best resources I've ever had in my life because the people that become coaches are of that mindset to help people, and they're CEOs, entrepreneurs, previous, you know, marketing, sales, whatever their business was that became coaches. So we have the variety. I mean, we have the gamut. I can get advice from anybody on anything I need just about any time.
What do you think makes a good coach?
My two words that are sitting right here in front of my desk, in front of my I am statements, are discipline and congruency.
Okay, discipline.
So we have an expression called I'm not a nice coach. The acronym for nice is nothing inside me cares enough to let you fail.
Okay. So the word that was in my mind when I asked the question was the word help. I got to believe that a coach loves helping people.
Oh, absolutely helping. Without a doubt helping, but just seeing the results, seeing people change their mindset, change their behavior, change their results. They change their mindset, they change their attitude, and the business follows. And then the accountability is the huge part of it, is making sure they don't let themselves off the hook, and that's why they hire me to help them get where they want to go sooner.
Fantastic. What are some of the reasons a person hires a business coach? And I when I ask the question, I'm thinking that a lot of entrepreneurs could hire a business coach, but they're just not quite convinced that the person can help them. That, you know, with the people you've worked with, what are the reasons that someone reaches out and says to a business coach, "Hey, I'd like some help. Can you please help me?"
I can answer it two different ways. I can answer it in the way that the accountability, again, is a huge piece of it. Most of my clients come from referral or from hearing me speak, and they understand very quickly that I either know something more than they know about the business or that I am sincere about my ability to help them by stories that I tell about other clients. Recently, I had a man stand up in my 90-day workshop and say, when he heard me speak, he just looked at the sky and said, "Thank you, God." And I told him, I said, "The teacher appears when the student is ready."
Right.
This man's 75 years old.
Oh, goodness me. Wow. Okay. What a great story.
So it's awesome.
Story. Yep.
Accountability is a big one. I have my own systems and processes in place. I have systems that other people have developed that have worked that I can share. I have a lot of procedures that I go through to help people build their business. It's kind of an interesting format because I can help any business because of the format. I don't need to know about the business specifically. I've coached bookkeepers and massage therapists and restaurants and construction companies and all kinds of individuals and personal coaching also. So it's about laying out the plan. As Eric said earlier, I work on a 90-day plan schedule also, and we lay out the goals and set up the projects and the tasks, and we plot them onto the calendar by the daily and weekly and monthly activity that has to happen to make the goal achieved.
So the 90-day cycle, that's a reasonable period of time to isolate a problem, work on it, and resolve it?
It doesn't always get resolved in 90 days, but we definitely get the testing and measuring done so we can see the results of what's working, what's not working, so we can remove a strategy or implement a strategy, depending on which area of the business that we're working in. Because I work in so many different areas of the business, it's not just one focus.
Right. And do you typically just work with a business owner, or do you work with people that a CEO or somebody running working in a large corporation?
I work with everyone. I work with the CEO. I work with their assistant. I work with management inside. I work with salespeople. I do sales training. I do team alignments. I've done a lot of personal coaching for people that work within larger organizations that want to go up the ladder or they want to be put into new positions. And I've had really good success with personal coaching and sales coaching for individuals. So it really goes back to they tell me what they want to do, and then we put a plan together on how they're going to get there and how soon.
So. And I'm sure you get part of the integrity of what you do and part of the quality of what you do is making sure you work with people that are comfortable working with you and you feel comfortable working with them. Is that part of your decision-making process with the clients you take on?
Absolutely. I have my own sales process that I put potential new clients through to see if they're going to play well, so to speak,
right.
If they're going to respond. I'm a coach. I don't do their sit-ups for them, so I'm
right.
not going to do the work for them, so the expectations have to be set, and the positioning of how the coaching work has to be set. And you can tell attitude, and you can tell by their participation. You can tell by how quickly they get information back to you and how they respond to you about setting up times to meet and things.
Right.
And, yeah, I've not hired or, not taken on clients for reasons that I just thought they weren't going to be a good client or they weren't going to do the work.
Right.
And I didn't want them to blame it on coaching. I don't
sure.
want to have my name on something that because someone else isn't doing the work.
Yep. Yeah, excellent. That's part of the challenge I have is when somebody asks me to sell their business, I really have to make sure that we're a good fit for each other as well, because when I'm selling a business, I eventually know everything about the business because that's just the nature of the process. But some people are not sure about getting a valuation, not quite sure about the financial performance of their business. And you see these red flags and you have to manage them. So I think that's great. You were saying that you don't specialize in any particular industry, that the skills you bring are generic across all different industries then. Is that right?
Yes, it is. I do happen to attract a lot of people in the service industry and specifically in niche service markets, which is very fun for me. I like to do a lot of the niche clients, get them out of price competition so it's not a me-too product so that we're not just worried about price all the time. Developing their unique selling proposition is a huge part of what I do.
So do you confidentiality, I know, is important. Do you have some examples of some niche service companies that you've helped or need to be careful asking that question?
No, I can say I'm working with a company that there's very little competition in, that's in a water treatment systems area.
Yep.
I have clients that, this one will give it away, but he's been a client for a long time, estate sales. That's kind of a niche market.
Sure.
And we've built that from working out of his van to actually having a full service building now, so that
right.
we can have a menu of services on how we, you know, help the clients with that. Interesting services like mold and lead and asbestos consultation. That's kind of fun.
Yeah.
Developing those businesses. And then there's the, you know, the specific industries in restaurants. Specific,
right. Yep.
You know, different.
Yep. Very good.
So that's, they're all fun. I mean, they're all fun. I tend to attract people that I like and they like, and we would hang out on the side anyway.
Well, we're heading into a break. When we come back from break, one of the tools you use is called a business health check. And I wanted to spend some time going through your business health check, because I think that's just an awesome tool you put together. So when we come back from break, I'm talking to Linda Bigler, and I've got some questions for her about her business health check.
Money 2.0 is sponsored by Rogerson Business Services.
Call Money 1055 at 866-576-1055. And get your questions answered in real time right now on Money 2.0.
Here's Dale Hendry, general manager of this radio station, to tell you about an exciting program, half-price tuitions at some of the area's best Christian schools, preschool, elementary, middle school, and high school tuition.
Listeners have thanked me personally because this half-price tuition program has allowed them to send their sons and daughters to Christian schools. If you or someone you know could benefit from our half-price tuition program, please have them go to crazyprice.mall.com to check out the program. Capital Christian Center Schools, Lutheran High School, and others are featured. It is an incredible value for an incredible education.
Go to crazyprice.mall.com. Only a limited number available and restrictions apply. Half-off tuitions at some of the best Christian schools featured for a limited time at crazyprice.mall.com.
Are you a business owner or entrepreneur at heart? I am too. I'm Andrew Rogerson, a local business broker and host of Money 2.0. Listen live Tuesdays at 10 on Money 105.5 FM. Let's talk about how you can successfully run your business.
Tune in to Money 2.0 with Andrew Rogerson, certified business broker and author of 4 books, Successfully Start Your Business, Buy Your Business, Buy Your Franchise, and Successfully Sell Your Business. Hear Andrew Rogerson on Money 2.0 live 10 a.m. Tuesdays right here on Money 105.5 FM.
Money experts, every morning at 10 on Money 2.0. Now, back to the host, Andrew Rogerson.
Welcome back, and thank you for listening to 105.5 FM and Money 2.0. I'm the host of the show, Andrew Rogerson, and my guest this morning is Linda Bigler. And Linda's a serious business coach, and got great respect for what Linda does. I've known her for a good 5 or 6 years, maybe even longer. And she focuses on helping business owners focus on what they need to do to get better. And one of the tools she uses, which I think is very helpful, is called a business health check. Linda, what's the business health check? What's its purpose?
Well, it's a 100 question questionnaire that I send out to pre-clients to have them give me an idea of how they rate their business on a scale of 1 to 5 in different areas, like service, sales, marketing, cash flow, budgeting, productivity, team, strategic strategies that they put in. What else do I have on here? Leadership and balance in their life, because that's really important also.
Yep. No, my goal is to talk through each of these 10 areas, because I think they really capture the essence of an entrepreneur. When I say they capture the essence, if one of these areas isn't in harmony with the rest of the areas, then there's a challenge. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, actually, when I do get these back from the clients and I put it through my system, it creates a radiograph and a bar graph. So it's very visual for someone to see where their business is operating on a mean percentage-wise and where it has peaks and valleys.
So the purpose of the tool is it's an information collecting tool for you. You send it out to somebody who wants to hire you as a coach. So it goes out to them. They fill it out. And so obviously they're giving you their feedback from their perspective.
Right.
And that can be that to me is intriguing, because their perspective doesn't necessarily make it true, but their perspective is how they see the world. And so that's the value of having Linda Bigler come along, is that you can say, hey, your score is really down low here, but guess what? Your score really is much higher, because once you start getting into the process of working with them, you can make them realize that maybe their expectations are too high, and help just change their mindset.
Yeah, when they actually read the questions and have to answer them, just the awareness alone changes their mindset about the business.
Yeah. And, okay, so someone comes out, the business health check, is it available on your website?
That you can inquire for it and put your email in, and then I will send it out so I know who I'm sending it to.
Yep, because you want to track who it goes to, and that makes perfect sense. So if you're listening and you're wondering what this business health check is about, go to Linda's website. It's www.lindabigler.com. And as Linda says, you may not be able to get the tool. She'll have to send it to you, but it's a place to start to get a little bit more information. So let's go through. You've got the 10 areas that you look at. Is there any reason why you've chosen these 10 areas? Are these the 10 areas that have been researched and decided upon? How are the 10 areas isolated?
We have a master list of categories that things fit into in a business.
Yep.
When people start talking to me about their issues, they usually come under time, team, or money. So they're either spending too much time in their business, they're not getting enough balance, home time, missing kids' games, things like that. They have team issues, team's not communicating, team's not productive, team's maybe they don't have the right people in the right place. So I have a fabulous hiring process that I do that I have lots of testimonials actually on the website about those, because people love it once they do it. And then there's money issues. They're not making enough money. They're not profitable enough. And one of the biggest things I worry about is when people don't know how profitable or not profitable they are.
Right.
We have to fix that right away, because if I come in and start helping them put in strategies to get more sales and they're in a negative profit, I can help put them out of business twice as fast. And that's not good.
No, it's not good. No, I get that. That doesn't make good sense. So how do you do that? Have you got a process for helping them determine their profitability?
Yes. Yeah, we have cash flow spreadsheets that we work on that are designed separate, that are part of the what I provide in the systems that I have for the business. We do lots of testing and measuring. Under the service area, we're working for delivery consistency and to keep client retention. If you think about your business and you think, if you had every client in your business today that you've ever had, what would your business look like?
Mm-hmm. Most people couldn't cope, because they just wouldn't cope with the volume of work.
Right.
Right.
Instead of having to pay to go out and market and lead generate and keep recycling, it's easier to keep a customer that you already have, because it costs six times more to go get a new one.
Right.
So what are you doing about making sure that your clients stay with you?
So
that's in the service area.
Yep, exactly. I was just going to talk about that. So the business health check, it's got 10 areas. The first area is service, and you've got about 8 questions inside that subject. So you're looking for the person to rate. Is it to rate their perception, or to rate? It's to rate their perception of the question that you're asking. Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely. And sometimes what I have is I'll have the manager and the owner fill one out separately, and then they have to have a conversation and come up with one questionnaire for me that they agree upon.
Wow!
And that is a huge awareness for them.
Yes. Yes. That's fantastic, because I just see so many. Sometimes the owner and the key employees, I call them, may not be in harmony. And if they're not in harmony, then that just makes it so hard for the business to go in one direction. The business is trying to go in 3 or 4 directions, because the owner wants to go one direction, the key employee wants to go another direction, and the employees who are working there, they're totally confused, and so they're going in their own direction.
And that's a big part of the team part that I coach on and doing team alignments, is making sure that the whole team understands what the mission and vision of the owner is, and that the owner has to set the culture and not just do as I say, not as I do, but lead by example.
Yep.
And it's huge. When people start communicating within the business and let their employees understand where they're going and why and when, and set the expectations and do the positioning, the team just starts to work better. Now, I can say that always doesn't work. Almost every place I start coaching, somebody quits.
Right.
But I'm okay with that, and I position that with the new client that somebody may quit, but it will probably be the weakest link because
right.
they don't want the new rules. They don't want to follow what's going on, or they know that they're going to get probably discovered for not doing their job.
We've got 2 minutes to go, Linda, so we'll keep moving through this. So the business health checklist, you've got the service area, you're looking at sales, and so you're looking for a measurement of the performance of the sales part of the business?
Yes. I have an expression that you've heard before, probably you can't change what you don't know.
Right.
So the KPIs and the awareness of the key performance indicators in the business, and year over year, what's working, what's not working, why was it good here and not good there, what was going on, especially with the last couple of years with the economy change.
Right.
People were running around blaming the economy, and my clients actually started complaining because they were having to pay taxes. They hadn't paid taxes in a while.
Right. So. That's a terrible problem to have. But okay, so we've gone through sales, and then you go through marketing. So you're making a distinction between sales and marketing. They're two different areas?
Yes, absolutely. Marketing, again, going back to that unique selling proposition, developing the menu of services, not being a me-too product so that you're just competing on price, and marketing strategies. I like to have multiple strategies working at any one time so we can test and measure the results. When we get the leads come in, we know which strategy the lead came from and if it's paying for itself, because we want marketing to be an investment, not an expense.
All right. Well, I'm getting the wind-up signal, so I'm going to go through some of these other areas. You've got a survey that the business health check includes looking at the team and how it's performing. You have a section on a strategic plan. Obviously, you're looking for the owner there to give you feedback on the vision they've got for the business. You've got a section there about budgeting, finance, and cash flow. Then you've got productivity, profitability, leadership and direction, and then balance. And balance is critical to an employee to a business owner because they tend to work too hard because that's just the nature of what we do.
Mm-hmm. Eric mentioned it. They do. And they're not thinking about the business, they're not planning about the business, they're just reacting like the hamster on the wheel.
If you want some more information, give Linda a call, 916-482-2790, or head to our website, lindabigler.com. And I'm out of time, and next week I've got guests, Angela Shrimp, she's an attorney, and Robbie Riggs is from FastSign. So bye for now.